Babiliac, Reel 2.
Then they used to come to disinfect the block of flats. But funny enough, I was telling this story the other day. My grandmother was an older lady, and she was sitting there because she couldn't walk for 5 years. She broke a leg and she couldn't walk. And she was sitting, and they wanted to look in her hair. And she didn't have hair, she had a wig. And they wanted, you know, to see what has she got on her. And I didn't want her then to have such a cheek to touch an old lady. And they were Jewish people who used to do it. And I said to them, I don't allow you to touch my grandmother. And I start screaming. And they said, yes, you don't allow it. Then I tell you what it will happen to you. You will go to the bath and they will cut your hair. When I heard that they are going to cut my hair, I ran out from that block of flats. It wasn't so easy. I went on the roof of that house, and on a very narrow edge, I went from the block where we lived to another block of flats. It was about 3 inches wide. And I came out there, and I found a young girl who didn't have hair. And she went to the bath, and she said she is Rena Litvak, because my name was Litvak, my maiden name. And I told her I will give her some money if she will bring me a certificate that I was in the bath. And that's what this girl done, and then I could come back home in the evening. You see, they taught you not to be honest. To escape, you had to do all different kinds of tricks to be able to survive even in the ghetto. And as my father was a very wealthy man, and they all knew about it, then every time there was different troubles that he should give them money.
And this would be to the Jewish people?
Yes, they were Jewish people which tried to get money out of the rich people. Then they used to do all different kinds of tricks. They said they will put him to prison, and they sometimes put him away for a few days. And then they came to us, and we had to give money to let them out. But one day somebody came to us, and they said that a friend who is coming to us, he said that if they will put in my father to prison, then he can get 1,000,000 zlotys. Then this fellow said the best thing would be that Litvak, my father, should be at home, and this man was always coming to the shop, and that somebody should pretend that he was arrested. And we will play like this, that on the end, you haven't got money, you've got to let him out. And that's what it was, played with that man. And after when the man saw that he can't get any money, he never came to the shop anymore. But a few times they played tricks that he was arrested and so on, and he was helping people a tremendous lot, because he knew in that block of flats used to live all kind of people, poor and rich, and people were dying from starvation. Then he had a man who was he called all the people from the block to our flat, and he said, look here, we are brothers and sisters, and we've got to see to help one another. I will give what you all will give together, and we've got to see that those poor people should get every day a plate of soup with a piece of bread. And so it was done that they formed a kitchen in that block of flats that my father gave a lot of money to be able to help the other people. And I've got to tell you that it taught me a lot, the way how my parents and grandparents behaved. Because even today I try to help other people which are less fortunate than myself. Life was very difficult in the ghetto.
Was there any sort of education going on for children?
That's what I told you, that I used to go, my teachers used to make in every one house a different, it was about 6, 8, or 10 girls, and we used to study like this. And to be honest, I've done like more than GC. I've done nearly the A-levels. In Poland it was Wyższa Matura. But I didn't finish because what was going on. And but what it was very sad, you see, our shop was very far away from the flat where we live. And my father bought one ton of little sweets like Smarties. And when the poor people used to come to the shop, they start giving them 2 sweets. And people were coming, everybody used to come, and they used to give them the sweets. But when Daddy was going home from work, he used to fill up the pockets with the sweets and give it to the children on the way home. And every time he used to come home and he said, look at my tragedy. I still didn't have enough sweets to give to the children. And funny enough, that the whole ton of sweets was distributed in about 18 months. Because he used to give it to the people. And what it was also going on, when people were so poor, they used to sell everything from themselves to be able to buy a piece of bread. It was very sad the way how people lived in the ghetto. And the Germans used to come and take pictures of the poor Jews who were starving. There used to be a German called Frankenstein. And this Frankenstein never had a cup of coffee in the morning till he didn't kill at least 5 Jews. Then every morning people were scared to go out on the street that Frankenstein would be there and he would kill them. It was sad, very, very sad. And then they start catching people on the street and sending them out to work. But nobody knew what they are doing. And my uncle, who later was my husband, it was my father's sister's husband. He was a young man, and my father was scared that one day they would catch him and send him out. Then the Jewish police, they didn't catch. Then a policeman came and told my father, if in case he would give some money, then he would be employed as a policeman and he will only have to report once a day to the for the police station there, and he won't be, they won't catch him. And it happened like this, that he was working there every time he had a pass that he is a policeman, then in case they catch, they didn't take him away because he said he is a policeman. But in 1942 in June, I don't remember exactly if it was June or July, I know it was a Jewish, one of the Jewish holidays again, they start sending people to the guest chambers. But nobody knew that they are sending them to the guest chambers. They thought that they are sending them for work. And my uncle went there to the police station. And that chief of police, Leighton, said that you've got to deliver me 5,000 people today. And if you won't deliver the 5,000 people, then we will take your family. Can you imagine? My uncle came to my father and told him this story. Then my father said, by me, you won't catch anybody. And that time, my father found out that if you are employed in a German factory and you work for the Germans, you do some work, then they won't send you to the gas chambers. And funny enough, that he arranged for us to work in a factory. But my brother worked in a different factory. And my mother and my uncles and another uncle took his wife and children and he went outside to his family. And we were left in the ghetto, but we had some friends which came and they said that in Węgrów, and Węgrów was a little town not far from Warsaw, that in Węgrów is quiet, and my father's youngest sister with one of the children of my uncle went to Węgrów. When she went to Węgrów, she was there a couple of weeks because in Warsaw they were catching people all the time. And they were catching people all the time in the ghetto. Then people, for instance, my grandmother couldn't walk. Then we had to hide somewhere. On the end, my father decided that the best place for her would be to put her to hospital. And an ambulance came to take my grandmother to hospital, and I went to see my grandmother to say goodbye to her before she went to hospital. And on the way back to the place where we were, I saw Dr. Janusz Korczak walking with the children to the Umschlagplatz. And this is a scene what I will never forget in my life. And funny enough, that now they show pictures of Janusz Korczak, but not one was the true scene what I saw the way how he went with those kids. He took and he had two sticks and in both hands and two children on one side, two children on the other side, on the sticks, and two children under the arms. And like this he walked and the rest followed him. It was a scene which gave me such a terrible impression. You see, I can talk now more because I talk a lot about it. Other friends of mine never told their children about the Holocaust, what they went through. But I've got one son, and since he was a little baby, his bedside stories were the stories of the ghetto. And my grandson, I start telling when he was about 9, 10. I thought it is time that he should know about it. And I think it is very important for the world to know what we went through. And probably it is easier for me to talk than for those people which kept it all closed all those years. But I was with my husband all the time, and we discussed all those stories all over again. And I think probably it was better, because otherwise you get very, choked up with it.
This scene of Dr. Kolchak, did you know him before?
No.
Or know of him?
I knew of him because every child used to read books of Janusz Korczak. And he was a chairman of orphanage. A matter of fact, a few weeks ago, I read his life story, his autobiography, and I think it was fantastic the way how this man, I am sure they wouldn't let him they would kill him later, even that would say. But it was very sad the way how it was all done.
How many children were there with him?
Darling, I can't tell you. I know it was a lot.
It was a lot of children.
Yeah. You've got to understand. I remember he went in the front and a whole lot walked up. And funny enough, people were on both sides of the road seeing this. It was a terrible scene. I don't think it is a lot of people here in London which saw it like I saw it.
What sort of life were you living at this time?
I used, that time I couldn't study, I couldn't do anything. I had to be in the factory, to be a felling hand, to finish off the German uniforms, what they brought from the front, which were torn up, and we used to sew them up and fill them up, and they pack them and they send them back to the Germans. They used to bring it and send it.
What sort of state were they in, the uniforms, when you worked on them?
I wouldn't say that they were dirty, but they were in a bad state. You had to... I used to do the... How is it called? The... Not the holes.
The buttonholes.
The buttonhole. Funny enough, I said, you see, now I've got, I learned. But funny enough, I didn't want to work for them. Whatever I could, I used to run away. No, I used to be a monkey around, they call it. And then it was very difficult to get food. And I remember we had to leave our flat because we had to go somewhere else. Every time they pushed you from one place to the other, and then they took away. My father gave away 2 dining room suites and God knows what. For about 1 kilo of butter and a few kilos of bread. Because the Pole, and we, I tell you, it was so sad. The Poles didn't behave nicely. They only wanted to get out from you as much as they could. And on the end, my daddy said, I've got to go out to leave the ghetto. No, first it was something else. Hiding in the ghetto. You see, Grandma went to the hospital. And we knew that she hasn't got enough food there. And I used to take a basket of food and take it to Grandma. I couldn't give it to Grandma, I had to give there to somebody. But to go to the hospital, I risked my life. I used to go from one house to the other and to hide. And like this, I used to go to take food for Grandma. If Grandma received it, I don't know. But I've done it. I've done my duty. And then on the end, they put in coffee. Poisoned them with coffee, I heard, and took the bodies and burned them on the cemetery. You see, they used to catch every day people on the street and so on. On the end, one day, they took us on a selection. And they put us up in rows. You know, like four or six, I don't remember, and the Germans with machine guns were standing that nobody should run away. And next to me and my mother was standing a woman with a child. She suffocated her child. She threw it away to be able to go through the selection. And they took whoever had a child and who looked older, they put on one side, and those which were young and they saw that they can work, they put on the other side. And I was lucky. I came back to the factory, and when I came back, it was before the Day of Atonement, Erev Yom Kippur, and people were calling that we should go to prayers for Kol Nidre, because it is the highest in the Jewish calendar, the highest evening, the most, not highest, the most, I don't know how to say it.
The most sort of important,
yes,
sacred,
very,
was it?
Very,
yes,
important evening.
Yes.
Nine. And they said, come on, let us go for Kol Nidre. And they said, what? We've got to go to pray to God that He should forgive us. We've got to forgive God for the monstrosities what He's done to us. People were crying, people were screaming when they came back from the select, because they took away children. And funny enough, 2 days before, they took away my brother, and I never saw him anymore. And my brother was 14.
How about your mother? Was she
my
with you?
My mother was with us.
And she was saved as well, was she?
What? Yes. My mother came to me, with me to England.
Mm-hmm. But
and
from that selection, she was returned, was she?
Yes. Yes. My mother wasn't old. And my father was 45 years old when the Germans killed him. He was one of the fighters of the Warsaw Ghetto. And then they decided to fight the Germans. And I remember I used to listen, and that was very, very important how they prepared for the fight in the ghetto. But my father wanted me to go out. I left the ghetto and I went to a woman, which wasn't very nice. And I learned in the ghetto the Christian prayers. And that saved my life that time, because this woman sent some Germans. When the Germans left, I went back to the ghetto. I saw that I can't stay there. I couldn't live like this, because she used to leave in the morning and come back at night. And I knew she wants something out of me. And on the end, one of my aunts, I found out that two aunts of mine, which were in Vengrov, they were killed,